Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, this has been such a wonderful few days being with you guys. It's really, really felt like family here, and you guys are family, and it's just really an honor and a privilege to be just a part of your family here, so thank you for having us. You guys blessed tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. How many of you just had an awesome day today? I mean, we were totally blessed by the Lord today. We had a little bit of an incident coming in today, but the Lord protected us, protected the car that was coming up the bridge, and I mean, it's just been an awesome day. Jeanette, can we just bring you up here right now so we can pray for you? Would that be okay? I really feel like we really just want to honor Jeanette for just being such a. She's been driving us about as well as Donnie and Katrina and the boost. Yes. That has been so fun on the bus. I'll share that later. Can we just all just gather around Jeanette here? Can we just pray over her? Yeah, yeah. Shada ba 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 da 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 ba 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 da 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 shia da 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 ba ba. Holy Spirit, Lord God, just come, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Just come, Lord. Just infuse her with more of your love, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you just overwhelm Jeanette right now with your presence and overwhelm her with your love, Father. Oh. Yeah, just pour in even more, Father. Just pour in, Father. Pour in, pour in, pour in.
In her body, Lord God, those places, Lord God, that have maybe felt the stress of the impact, Lord, we just, Father, just ask that you just come and wash over her right now in Jesus' name. We just bind any pain and just cast it out in Jesus' name. We just ask your shalom to come upon her in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, and just fill her with your joy. Fill her with your joy. Oh, more, Lord. Whoa. Hallelujah. Wow. More, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Fill her up, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. More, Lord. Yeah. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are her strong tower, Lord God. And I thank you that she comes boldly running into you, Lord God. We just bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This has been an incredible time. I mean, we've been riding in back and forth with Donnie, Pastor Donnie, on the bus, and it's been amazing to be able just to be on him with his route in the mornings. And all the kids, all the people that come in, Brennan and I just were blessing them. You know, we're just blessing them. We're just blessing them. You know, as they're coming by, you know, early in the morning, you know, we say good morning. They're like, oh. Morning. And some of them would just not even acknowledge you. They just walk on through and find their spot. But the bus was quite lively in the afternoon, so that was good. So it was more talkative, except when I was trying to catch a few Z's on the way back. But no, it was really good. You know, it's been really fun hearing Donnie talk about transition this morning, because we're all in transition. Hallelujah. I mean, it's great that we are, because then we'd just become just stagnant, you know. And we wouldn't really be good for anything. We wouldn't be a big drink of water to anybody, you know. We just wouldn't be all that great, you know. So this has been really a great time, because we're also in transition. Hallelujah. So this has been an incredible time of really just saying, Lord, whatever your heart's desire is, whatever you like us to do, Lord, here we are to do it. And that is an incredible thing. I was asking the Lord earlier today, which direction do you want to go? What do you want to share? And the Lord really laid this upon my heart. I've had the chance to go in. Joe took us to a Tesco when we first got in. And here he is. It was an incredible time. I mean, it was early in the morning. Donnie dropped us off. And it was good. And, you know, the Lord just reminded me, you know, that we just really need to be joyful all the time. You know, and Joe is joyful all the time. And, you know, it's just incredible just to see that joy so early in the morning. I can't. Sometimes I have to remind myself that, you know, Brendan and I both, you know, since we're in contact with California a lot, you know, our day doesn't start till about 11, because we're up till 1 or 2 in the morning. So, but, you know, that was the one thing the Lord is saying, you know, is you know, we say we count everything all joy. You know, we read in Scripture in the book of John. In fact, I have a few scriptures here. But it's just this place where, you know, what happens inside the house, What happens inside the house, when you take it outside, it needs to come out. Because the Lord fills us up not just for us, but for the multitudes that are waiting for an encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. And this house, I believe, is such a house of refuge. It's the Father's house. That the Lord is really preparing you in this season because you're such a core group of a family. This is a bit of a prophetic word here. As I really see you guys are going to be very strategic on this aisle. Becky asked me a question tonight in the kitchen. She says, so Aaron, what is the Lord giving you for the Isle of Lewis? And I said, this is an aisle of refuge. This is an aisle of refuge. And all that come seeking the Lord will find you.
Amen.
They will find you.
Amen.
They will come to this aisle and they will find you. They will come to this house and they will find Pastor Donnie, Pastor Katrina. They will find all of you because you're all from the Father's house. I'm just not, this is really what I've been feeling, and this is why I believe the Lord's called us here, is just to be the lifter of your arms and to be able to really help equip you guys for the journey. Hallelujah.
And as we know, sometimes when we go on the journey, we got baggage. And some of us like to pack a lot of stuff. Right? The Lord's like saying, get your house ready. Get rid of some stuff. Oh, but I need that. I like that. I want that. And Becky knows this. We've been following her around now for about 8 years. We've been stalking her. We met up with Becky in Africa at Pastor Sapreza's house. I remember the night we met.
Hallelujah.
I love Africans and that pray. And we just had an instant connection with Becky. She's just amazing. And although we were all in different places and we were on one side, she was in town, we were in the bush, and she was bouncing from the bush, you know, to Nelspruit, and we had a wonderful relationship. And then we all left Africa. You know, we were there for about 3.5 years. You were probably there close to that time as well. She ends up going over to Jericho, and then we followed suit going to Jerusalem. You know, and didn't know, had no idea. All of a sudden, oh, you know, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, not like that. We kind of knew we were all moving that direction. And then Aaron tells her at our house when she was in her major transition again, when are you going to get to Scotland? And she's like, I'm getting there, you know. And she made a short turn to, were you in Thailand?
Taiwan,
right. She was in Taiwan for a while. And Aaron's like, when is she going to get to Scotland? So then she goes to Scotland, and we have our other shift, and we end up in Scotland. You know, we got called to Jerusalem and Scotland at the same time, but it was Jerusalem first. So I share that because you just don't know who's going to be along in the ride with you and all the stuff that we're carrying, right? All the stuff we're carrying, the baggage that we're carrying. Hey, the Lord wants us to get rid of some of that baggage. And He will bring us to the most unusual place to deal with us. And He will bring the most unusual people along our path to help us. I'll stop there. We'll get back to that.
You know, we have a dear friend who's a Messianic Jew. His name is Matthew, and he's about 30 years old. Wonderful man of God. He serves YOM on Kona, but he's pretty much become a world traveler. He shared a wonderful testimony. I just want to share this with you because I saw the tallit. You know, a lot of us, you know, are just really, for those that really felt led, are coming into more of awareness of our Hebrew roots in the faith. And he was sharing a story with our students when we had a school back in Bethlehem about when Jesus came looking for his disciples, these were pretty much men that were not picked by the rabbi that would come in and teach in these local villages. The rabbi from Jerusalem would come through looking for his disciples that would be a part of him. They would learn from him. They would sit down. They would serve him. They would follow. I mean, it was a great honor to the family to have one of your sons chosen by the rabbi that would come out of town and pick your son to go to school. So here comes Jesus. You know, he's walking to the Galilee when his ministry started. And he's meeting Peter. Now, we all know about Peter, you know. He was, he just was Peter. but all the other ones picked up along the way. These were young men that necessarily weren't highly favored. And in fact, the families that had these sons were more likely disgraced because their sons weren't picked by the rabbi that came through maybe the season before or the season before. So Jesus came in to pick the least. He chose the least. Hallelujah. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus chooses the least. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. So when our students heard that, they were really encouraged. I mean, I was encouraged, you know. It's like, yay, Lord, you know. But isn't that amazing, you know, just to see what was going on in the natural and then we apply it to the spiritual. What was dogmatic became pragmatic in the things of the Lord. I was listening. That's a good word. Holy Spirit is practical. He is practical in many, many ways. Sometimes we think that because what we see on television with the really wild and wonderful ones, sometimes we think we need to be that way to be walking in the Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will have you do some very, very, you know, different things that nor necessarily you wouldn't find yourself doing just through your ordinary everyday lives. But I believe that there's a place where I just really see this house is going to begin to release lots of joy, lots of joy, lots of joy in this land. Because when you release the joy, what you're releasing is a scripture out of the book of John, chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, I'll just stop there. You guys can read on. Verse 16 is awesome. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain and that whatever you ask for in the Father's name, he may give to you. And he says, verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. You know, that love just doesn't come across to your brothers and sisters here in the Father's house. That love is really for the multitudes that are out there waiting. So this is why it's really so important that we sort of travel lightly with our baggage in these days. You know, we got to make sure that we have no baggage so we're not consumed with self or going outside. Oh, I didn't get a chance to iron my trousers or just the small things. The enemy just wants us to think about, you know, taking our eyes off of the Lord. And, you know, and so it's just this place where we have to know that the Lord wants us to release his joy at the Tesco, you know. I was at a meeting last night, and I ended up sharing, and the spirit in the room was just beautiful. But it seems like when I started sharing about fathers and mothers and going out and getting the lost sons, it's, you know, and the meeting was almost done. It was good, but this is a time we're in. This is a time of collecting the harvest, and I believe this is why the Isle of Lewis is going to be a refuge. It's going to be for those ones that are going to be coming here to seek what everybody says is happening. Because what happens here in the Spirit is going to get on the mainland. What's going to happen here is going to get out of the house. Because you guys are taking it with you. When you guys go, you guys are going to share testimonies about what God is doing. The Lord's going to use you guys to unlock people's hearts. And you're not going to do it without, well, yeah, the Father's house. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, the Father's house. Wow, you know? And it's going to be with joy. It's going to be with laughter. It's going to be because, you know, if we're not aware that, number one, that we're not given to ourselves, that we're really given to the masses, it sort of takes our eyes off of ourselves. And our problems and our challenges seem to be much more smaller than when we have an awareness that you are given to the world just as Jesus was. Hallelujah.
Okay, in Israel, there's a place called Beer Sheva. And Beer Sheva means the seven wells. Beer means well. Sheva is the number seven in Hebrew. And it's a wonderful place, and it's where Jacob had his wells. And faithfully, right, these wells belonged to Abraham. They belonged to the family, and they got passed down from generation to generation. It was their responsibility to keep them cleaned out and to keep the water flowing, clean water flowing. But those Philistines, you know what they used to do? They used to throw rocks in the wells to plug them up. Lots of rocks. That's what they did on a regular basis. And then the family would have to come around, and always there was always a fight over who owns the wells. No, it wasn't Abraham's sons. It wasn't, you know, the territorial spirits that want to come in and take stuff from you. So what did they have to do? They'd have to go check regularly to see if there was rocks in the wells. All right? So just as we are going out and we're the living water, right? We're the living water. We have to make sure there's no rocks, and they're blocking his flow, right, of one, communication, anointing, presence, love. I mean, because, I mean, let's be honest, folks. I'm commanded to love you, but I may not like you. Right? I love you. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm speaking from a place of we are commanded to love. But let's be real. There are some people out there that really test their love. Right? I may love you, but I'm not sure if I like you. I'm going to just keep my distance from you. Right? Come on. Don't try to act all you never experienced that one before. Let's be real. We're family, right? We can talk about it. Let's talk about it. So, you know, the rocks that the enemy tries to plug up stuff within us could be offenses, could be hurt, wounding, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever those rocks represent in our life. So it's our responsibility to check ourselves regularly. And is there any rocks in there, Lord? It's really simple to ask. Do I have any unforgiveness? Do I have any hurt? You know, if you find yourself not liking someone, more than likely there's a rock in there somewhere, right? That's pretty obvious, isn't it, right? I really don't like you. I don't know why, but I don't like you. Well, sometimes we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to tell us why I don't like that person, right? I mean, this is kind of kindergarten level for us. But sometimes we need to be reminded to go back to basics. Because we get along in our life, and pretty soon we realize, why am I feeling so heavy? Why am I dredging? Why do I feel like I'm walking in mud? Because you're loaded down with rocks. And you need to get them out. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm light again. Oh, I feel good again. Oh, I feel like dancing again, right? Because you're not. How many of you felt that this week? We got rid of some stuff and, woo, you just feel light in the spirit again. And you're wondering why. You know, we got natural tiredness, but we have to take time with the Father and ask him, do I have rocks? Am I stony hearted? Am I being weighed down by stuff I shouldn't be weighed down? We should be weighed down with the glory, not with the, with the other stuff.
Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is not a heavy message. This is really something that as a family we should be talking about, because if we can't be transparent with one another, then we're really not walking in the love that Jesus, what we just read about. We're not really abiding in love and just allowing his joy to partner with our joy so it can be overflowing, you know. When we go through healing, when we go through deliverance, it's a place where all the baggage goes away, all the fences go away, so we can really give what the Lord wants us to give away, which is him, which is the kingdom of God. With this one right here?
Oh.
Yeah, hair gets stuck and everything. Haha. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We love each other. Hallelujah. We love you no matter what. No matter if you smell.
Hello.
No matter if you have bad breath.
Hello.
No matter if you may have shouted at me the day before. Hallelujah. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And the next chapter goes into, or verse goes into, the outworking of love. And I'll let you read that there. This is a season, brothers and sisters, that we really need to really have our spirits and our hearts checked to see where we're at. We can't afford to walk in any kind of offense The test comes when we meet brothers and sisters, like Brenda just said, that totally just grind us. That totally just take us, test every part of the grace and love within us. You know, we think, oh, yeah, hallelujah, you know, and all of a sudden we go to the petrol station and there's somebody that's just not nice or whatever happens throughout your day. Those are the grace growers, what I call them. Those help us grow in grace. Those are the ones that really test what we've learned inside Father's house. Those are the ones that really, really give us the character that the Lord is building within us and wants to build within us to be able to be a light in a dark place. Because what we just read right here, you know, we're not bringing a lot of life if we're not really learning to love each other, first of all, because this is the training ground. This is where we all get learned up. This is where we all get trained up. This is where we, and then it gets released. And that's the true place. I mean, I have seen believers in Africa just fighting over each other, fighting over things. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, has things become so religious that the very, very heart of love of Jesus, Yeshua, is gone. It's missing. It's just a program. It's another thing. So people forget that we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to prefer each other above ourselves. You know, it's not about us, you know. In Bethlehem, I would have these wonderful Muslim young men that I would minister to in the refugee camp during the day. And they wouldn't have anything to do with Jesus in front of family members. And I know why, because they would be persecuted if they even, some of them would see us talking to them. But they would pitch up at my house at midnight. And I am like ready for bed. So I'd answer the door. I looked through the little peephole. We had CCTV. We had to have that. It's the first time we ever had to have some sort of security. But I opened up the little hole through the door, and you know, I have 2 or 3 guys standing out there, and they come in, and you know, Brenda would make us tea or give us a cold drink, and for the next 3 or 4 hours, we'd be talking about the things of the kingdom of God. You know, I mean, it's after I started flowing into that place, getting past myself, where I was able to minister to them in the power of the Lord, because a lot of these guys did receive the Lord. But it was a place where I needed to create safety for them. You know, and a lot of people wouldn't spend time with them. And this is the thing, when you're called to love the unlovely, when you're called to radical love, loving others above your own needs, loving others above what you even want to do sometimes, you know, it's really going to take you past yourself. And then really, that's the place where God says, oh, finally, now my spirit can come and I can just do what I want to do with these ones.
All right, so how do you know you're really walking in the Spirit of God? How do you know you're walking in the Spirit? I want to ask some of you young kids a couple questions. This young man here. So what, just off the top of your head, to walk in the Spirit, what would be the first thing that you think you would need to represent to walk in the Spirit? What do you think? What do you need? Responsibility. Okay. How about you? What does that mean to you? If I say, brother, are you walking in the Spirit? How do you know? Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. There's no wrong answer. Do you think you might need a little bit of love, maybe? Tiny bit? A lot? What else? What else would you need that you think you might just God might give you? All right, I mean to put you on the spot, but just well, I did, but that's okay. All right, how about you, sweetheart? What do you think you might need? What's a fruit of the Spirit that you might need? Mom can help you. It's all right. I asked some of our Israeli youth one time in Jerusalem. I just nearly fell off my chair. I asked them, I said, what does it mean for you to walk in the Spirit? And they're like, you know, like Heidi Baker, to go like, whoa. And I was like, oh, good Lord. You know, like I have to walk around all drunk and I have to like say weird things, you know, like the spirit. Shaba. And I just about rolled over on my chair going, oh, good Lord, we need to do some teaching in the house. And I thought, well, that's good. You know, they got a revelation of getting past all the religious stuff. You know, it's a little to the left. That's great. That's great. Sometimes we need to go a little to the right. That's great. Well, he'll balance us out somewhere, right? So, you know, when you see that, the Lord's just balancing out. Because I know when I first got saved, I was terrified of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord whacked me one night with joy. He brought this blind South African evangelist. Imagine, a blind South African evangelist shows up at our church. He's a healing evangelist. He's blind. And I'm like going, there's just something wrong with this picture, but whatever. The guy's anointed. I mean, he was ministering, and I was sitting on the front row. He got like within 5 feet of me, and I thought I was going to jump out of my skin. The anointing on this guy was so, I mean, and then he stood right. He doesn't know who he's standing in front of. He doesn't know. So he just like, if you were me, he's standing this close, and I could feel the anointing. And he just goes, ha ha. Ho ho. He he. I laughed for 3.5 hours. So much so that I was praying, God, make it stop. I mean, your stomach hurt, your face hurt, your bladder's going to go. I mean, you just can't handle it. All right. So get this. So I mean, I wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. I didn't know what was going on. I could not do anything about it. And I mean, and I knew something was going on because our pastor pulled his wallet out and threw it out in the air on the floor. And I'm like, there was whack stuff happening that night. And I thought, what is going on? I've never seen this in my life. But you know what? I'll tell you. We left that night. And I mean, something happened. Something deep, you know, joy, that joy, that joy. He's going to sit down now. So I was like going, whoa, what's going on here, right? Because I got up off the floor and I didn't realize that some of our, Aaron and I were youth leaders or youth pastors by that time. Some of our youth had come in during the middle of the meeting, after the meeting had started, and it was a mess. I mean, there was bodies all over the place. We didn't know what, like a wrecking ball came in and hit us. And here our youth come in, our youth leaders come in, and they're trying, they told me this later. We were trying to talk to you. And I'm like, I don't even remember seeing you. We were trying to talk to you, and one of the girls was quite offended. She was quite offended, like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not, you know? I mean, that's how out of it I was. But I realized when I woke up the next day, I mean, I felt something healed me. I mean, that laughter and that level of joy came in and, you know, got those rocks underneath there and just pushed them out. I was never the same. And then it was only after that that I was able to really get filled with more of the Holy Spirit, even more, even more, even more. Because this is what the Lord says about. Now, okay, guys, listen up now. This is what walking in the Spirit's about. Just lost it. Oh, here. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Gladness.
Gladness.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Even temper.
Even temper. Say that again. Even temper. Forbearance.
Forbearance.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Benevolence.
Benevolence.
This is the Amplified Bible.
Faithfulness.
Not, whoa. But that's good too.
Gentleness.
Which means meekness.
Oh, good Lord, humility.
Self-control.
Self-control.
I'm still working on that one, big time. Self-restraint.
Self-restraint.
Continence. That's what it says. This is the Hebrew. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge against you. Now, isn't that awesome? Nobody can say anything bad about you if you walk in those things. And if they do, guess what? They got to go to Papa. Papa will instantly deal with them immediately. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to do anything. But I'll tell you, those fruits of the Spirit are difficult to live by. Hey, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. For if the Holy Spirit, we have our life in God, let us go forward. Walking in line, our conduct, controlled by the Spirit. So let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited or competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another. That's a good word. Now that's a good word. Right? That's a good word. Let's not irritate each other. Good Lord. We need envying or being jealous of one another. I mean, I get irritated about 50 times a day. Just with Aaron. And it's not even, it's me. It's not him. He'll say good morning. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And I remember my African pastor, are you a wife or a knife? Oh, I'm a wife. Isn't that fun? All right. So if any of you are having challenges with those fruits of the Spirit, you got some rocks to deal with. It's an easy check. Any time of the day, you walk in the opposite spirit of any of those things, you got rocks in there that you need to pull out. And then the enemy can't weigh you down, hold you down. And we got to keep short accounts, not only with each other, but with ourselves. Right? Because there are people outside this building that need to see the love of Jesus through you. You might be the only Jesus they're going to see during the day. We're representing Christ. We're co-heirs. We're representing Him. You know, when we went into the refugee camp, I thought, goodness sake, Aaron had a dream or vision that he saw Jesus going through this one refugee camp in Bethlehem. And he was going ahead, and behind him was all this, you know, white light and healing and restoration, and people were getting saved. So based on that vision, I mean, that is one of the main reasons why we went in to choose in this one camp. So we went in there, and the Lord put us in touch with this one lady who came out to greet us and welcomed us into her home. And she took a tremendous risk by befriending us. And long story short, we ended up started doing some humanitarian aid ministry in that camp. Because, you know, we wanted to show the love of Jesus, hello, practically fulfilling some of the needs of the people, because there were many. There were many things that they needed. But finding the true needy is a whole nother story. Right? Because in a place like that, everybody wants, whether they need it or not. If my sister gets a bag of rice, I want a bag of rice. So trying to figure out and navigate, Lord, take us to the ones who are really in need. Take us to the ones. So we would ask her every week, you know, can you just take us to all the people that you know, which is, you know, a lot of times their own family members, of course, right? There's favor. Huge family. I mean, like 90% of the camp was part of her family. So she'd take us to various people, and a lot of them had children that were mentally challenged, and there was all kinds of different needs. But just going in and talking to the families and saying, you know, how can we pray for you? How can we help you? And we would tell them right up front, you know, we are believers in Jesus. We're coming in the name of Jesus. We're not coming in our names. We're coming in His name, and we want to help you because He wants to help you. So then we would give them a little coupon that enabled them to come to our storehouse, where they would get rice, sugar, and oil, and they could go into, we had a little room called Abba's Closet, and it's where we had all the clothing and all the supplies where they can just go in and take whatever they wanted. Well, of course, along the way in this ministry, now we're dealing with two political parties in this camp, Hamas and Fatah, which are the two big political parties in Israel. And so imagine, you know, I mean, Aaron was sitting down in front of this one guy we found out was one of the head guys in the, was it the Fatah movement in the camp? Lovely guy. I mean, just, you want to talk about a father, his kids would run in after school and jump in his lap and daddy. And I mean, you just think the stuff you hear about these people, and look, he's a father. He loves his children. It goes against everything you hear. And you look at that, and he wants food on the table for his children. He wants opportunity for his children. Just like any other father. So it's like, you know, we can sit back and watch the BBC and hear all the stuff about what's going on over there. But when you're in somebody's house and you're seeing how they live and why they live and what they do daily and how they provide for their own family, it's a whole different viewpoint. And I never seen people like this guy walking in fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, meekness, patience. You know, obviously they're worshiping a different God. But there is something in them. Something in these people that they walk in the Spirit to a level, to a place. And you think, how can this be? Because there's that place in us. Everyone has God in us. Everyone. So even though, you know, in our eyes, well, okay, they're Muslims and they believe in whatever they believe in. But we never took that into consideration, ever. We just loved who they were, where they were at the time. We didn't take into consideration any of that stuff. So when you're out there with people, you cannot afford to take into consideration their past, what they currently believe in, because it doesn't matter. You become, you know, love makes you colorblind. Love makes you do things that you would never do yourself, ever. Love costs something. It's very costly for you to stop for someone. It was very costly for Jeanette to pick us up today. Very costly. She didn't count the cost. She just did it. It, you know, it costed us 10 minutes, didn't it? It's like that was designed to shut us down today. It was designed to shut us down. Nope, got some help. The guy we almost hit pulled over, helped us move the car, and he says, where are you guys going? Oh, we're on our way to church. You need to get to church, he said. He says, I'm taking you guys. So we get in the car with him, and he brought us here on time. We lost 10 minutes. You know, and you think about that. Most people, that day, it take them 3 weeks to recover from that thing. I mean, if that happened to me, you know, 15 years ago, shoot, I'd be in a state for 6 months. You know what I mean? I'd be complaining about it. I'd be talking it up. I'd be all that, you know, blah, blah. We don't have time for distractions. We don't have time. We don't have time.
And with that, you know, we really feel like the Lord is saying, and I've been hearing this since we've been here, the Lord is saying, get ready. Get ready. Because this house is going to be known for its radical love. This house is going to be known for it truly being the Father's house. Not just a cool place to come hang out with your friends, but really bring in an impact to this island. You guys are going to be known, and I'm saying that because of what your heart's desire holds, and that's to see Jesus come and Jesus live and dwell within us. People are going to come. In fact, Donnie, I just want to let you know that when I was worshiping here, the Lord's going to bless you with a larger building. I really see that your sanctuary is going to have room, because what this is going to be, it's truly going to be Father's house. Because you are going to have the stinky ones come through. You are going to have the ones that are the alcoholics. You're going to have the drug addicts. You're going to have the abused wives and that need a place to stay. You're going to have these ones that you're going to need to minister to. And some of you are going to have, I saw crisis centers as well that the Lord's going to have you set up. And you're going to appoint people that are so, so radically in love with the Lord that they're going to be on call 24 hours a day for people. There's really no need for hospitals. Because the Holy Spirit is the healer. I mean, Jesus is the healer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so there's this place where this is what God wants to do on this aisle. It's at a place where it's had that before. But God really wants to bring it to the next level. And it will last. It will remain. It will multiply. Hallelujah. You know, Brenda was saying about God, you know, the Lord showed us working with the people in the refugee camp that when he forms us in our mother's womb, it's just not the ones that says yes to God later on down the road. That's with everyone. So that's what she meant when she spoke that word earlier. That's the Jeremiah 1. That deposit is in there in all of us. But sometimes when we are not, when the rocks, like Brenda says, aren't removed from us, there's a place where all we could see is just right here. And we don't have the ability to see in their hearts. And this is why in this hour that we need to get ready. This house truly, Donnie, needs to get ready. Katrina, this house needs to get ready. Because you've taught your ones to love radically. Because you yourselves have, I mean, my goodness, if I may say, just the love that they have for you, I mean, it's just incredible. It's incredible. And I see it through the things they do and just their hearts that love you all so much. And that's purely the Lord. That is purely living in the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I also want to tell you all individually that the Lord is creating you to shine Jesus the way He has made you. Hallelujah. Pastor Donnie said that earlier this morning when he was praying, and I caught it, and that was an amen in my spirit. Because lots of times we all think we need to look like someone else. We need to look like this person or that person, you know. And the Lord's saying, abide in me. Abide in me and seek me. And I will pour out. You know, during Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the father of the house, after they do communion, because basically that's what you do when you have the bread and the wine, is you're communing with the Lord. What the head of the house will do is he has a saucer. And what he does is a cup and a saucer, he'll pour the wine, and it's real wine. It's not grape juice. So for all ones that have trouble with alcohol, it's real wine. It pours over into a bowl, and that bowl gets filled. The saucer gets filled. It almost looks like a bowl because there's a lot of wine that gets deposited in that. And the person at the table that the father in the house chooses to honor gets to drink out of the overflow. They get the saucer to drink. This is a season where the Lord, and I've shared this with one or two of you here tonight, but I believe for this house, it's for all of you, is this is a season where the Lord wants to all have you drink out of the overflow, because this is what you're going to be giving out of. See, if we're so, so saturated into the things of God, if we keep drinking His overflow and be filled with His overflow, we're not going to grow tired and weary. We're not going to try to avoid somebody if we see them that's constantly needing ministry. We're not going to answer the phone call or if a phone call comes through and it's this person, we're going to answer it. I'm guilty of that. I have to repent. But there's just two of me. I mean, well, yeah, because we are one. We are one in the Lord. But, you know, I really believe that you guys are going to be a community that's going to do that. And it's going to be here in Stornoway. I even see satellite offices. I see home groups are going to be springing up all over the place. You guys are really, really going to be, you're in a season of acceleration. This is why I know the Lord's given Pastor Donnie the message He's been giving to you guys for such a while. It's because He's really equipping you guys to get ready. Because there's a place where He's going to be moving on, not away, but I mean it's, there's going to be more people here. So I'm really hearing that the Lord really wants you guys to glean while you can, while you're a small family, because you guys are going to get so big that you're going to need sometimes to remember these times. You're going to need to remember those sweet moments you had, because Not to say you're going to miss each other, but because there's just going to be a place where you're just not going to have that luxury of hanging with your friends, because you're going to be busy bringing in new ones. Hallelujah.
All right, I have a little wee testimony about that. When I was probably 2 years old in the Lord at our church, I left Apple Computer after 12 years working in Silicon Valley, corporate administrator at a very high Fortune 500 company, right? And then we moved from there to Tuolumne County. So I went from Silicon Valley, the richest county, Tuolumne County, the poorest county in California. So, you know, the Lord was making a statement, you know, with our, you know, that was a stretch. And I started working, I was way overqualified for any job in that county, but I just missed being with people and I wanted to be out again. And I was a new believer, so I was now starting to look at my job now as my ministry. Okay, and, you know, because I thought, well, it's my ministry now. It's not just the job. So I really wasn't really concerned about the money as much as I wanted to be with people. So I ended up going, I applied for this position at Catholic Charities. Okay, now I'm a spirit-filled, born-again believer now, applying for a job at Catholic Charities as a legal advocate. And basically, this was my job, was to have senior citizens come in to see me, and if they had legal matters, I just referred them to one of 10 attorneys for a consultation in the county. It's that simple of a job description. But when you have a little old lady come in who's having a problem with her gas company over a bill, you don't need an attorney, do you? I mean, I hope not. So I'd say, well, what's the problem? And she'd tell me, and I'd say, well, honey, let's just phone them up and deal with it. So I'd get on the phone and I'd say, hi, I'm calling from the legal advocacy department and we have a problem with this bill and we need to go get it sorted out right now. Done. So 80% of my phone, you know, people coming in, it was stuff that I could actually handle with them because they just needed help, right? Well, I started doing house visits. So they sent me to this lady. And she had some mental issues. Love Jesus. You remember her. Her name was Rebecca. And I'll tell you, you know, she was smoked 10 packs of cigarettes a day. She was on medication. I mean, it was really severe. And she had some challenges, and she phoned me several times. And I said, where do you live? I need to come out and see you. So I got permission from my boss to go to her house. So I'd start going to see her once a week. And I would help her get all of her stuff sorted. And we got most of her stuff sorted out. It was no problem. But we started having this relationship, and we would just read the Bible. She'd say, I don't understand the book of John. She'd ask me, what's this all about? So her and I we end up having these Bible studies once a week, right? And then I realized she wasn't going to a church. So, you know, I was ministering to her now for 6 months. Every week, going to her house. Sometimes I'd pick her up, take her grocery shopping. Her and I go have a little cup of coffee somewhere. You're just loving on her because people didn't like her because she didn't take a bath. She didn't wash her clothes. She smelled like a pack of cigarettes all the time. And people just were repelled by her exterior, but her heart. And she would minister to people at the bus and tell them Jesus loves you. She's a little flaming evangelist. Right? But she was just so repulsive. So one day she asked me, Brenda, can I go to your church? And I was like, of course you can. Now, I wasn't worried about her coming to my church, but I knew there were people at my church who didn't want her there. I knew that already. And I thought, here we go. I'm going to be in big trouble now, but I don't care. So I didn't tell anybody. I just picked her up one morning and brought her and prayed, Lord, let this be a good experience for her. Because it was a bit country club-esque, if you know what I mean, at that time. Sure enough, now nobody had any idea that I had brought her. All right? I don't know how the Lord just set this up. Because I came in, she went to the restroom, and I said, meet me in the church. I went in, she came in, we weren't even sitting together, and I thought, this is a test. Sure enough, I'm hearing people in our church. Well, who brought her in? She stinks. Is she smoking outside? There's smoke getting inside the church. Who brought her here? How did she know how to get? This is what I'm hearing. And I am like seething. I'm like, the Lion of Judah is like, don't you touch my daughter. I'm going to, because I was hearing the dogs barking. I was hearing the dogs. And I thought, oh, Jesus, it broke my heart. And I was angry. It broke my heart. So the worship started. It's still going. The conversations are still going. They're in the worship, I thought. Don't you have the sense to do it on the coffee break? She comes up to me in the middle of the worship and taps my shoulder and she says, I have to go home now. Now, she didn't hear any of this stuff going on, but she felt it in the spirit. She felt unwelcome in the house. And I was so livid. I was like, Aaron, I need to take her home. He's like, I know. So, I was embarrassed.
They were being so quiet about it.
I was ashamed.
I mean, her and I were sitting together, and I mean, I could hear them up 3 or 4 rows up. And so, you know, it was a hard time.
So anyway, long story short, I get her in the car, and, you know, just dead silence on the way back, because I knew she felt rejection. And she was already in rejection, and now getting more rejection. By the church. And I thought, just you know, so I sat with her at the house and I said, you know, please forgive me on behalf of people who just don't know how to love. I'm really sorry. I just repented and asked her to forgive me. And I just said, I'm so sorry. I said, I will see you next week. And she's like, do you think I could get baptized? You know, and I'm just, now I'm a new believer. Right? I don't even think I have the authority at that time to baptize her. If I knew what I knew now, I would have put her in the tub right there and baptized her. You know, but I still think I needed a qualification at that time. So I thought, well, I better talk to my pastor. Like a new believer, you got to check these things, right? So it was fine. Well, the following weekend, we go to a barbecue. And you know, all the elders are there. They still don't know she's my friend. They still don't know. So what do you think they were talking about at the barbecue?
These are the elders.
Right? This is the elders of our church now, right? And I'm sitting there going, I'm just waiting for my holy moment, Lord. You're going to just, I'm just waiting. So sure enough, the conversation comes up. And after they were all done saying what they said, I said, yeah, too bad you guys didn't get to meet my client. She's one of my clients. Do you know I've been ministering to her for 6 months? And do you know it was just going to be a joy for me to bring her to our church and just let her feel the love in this church? And then I unloaded. I said, I don't ever want to hear one of you again asking for the lost. I don't want to hear it. You're not ready. You're not ready for smelly, stinky people to come and invade your space. And I said, you know, you nearly destroyed 6 months of ministry. I mean, I told them. I mean, I was like, I couldn't hold it in. I thought, this is a precious woman. She's got more revelation in her pinky. She loves Jesus. She goes to the hospital when she gets her meds and tells everybody on the bus that Jesus loves them. I said, but, you know, we're not ready for that, are we? We're not ready to bring them into the church. Well, get this. So I brought up the whole baptism thing. Dead silence. Wasn't going to happen. And I knew it. And I went, okay, we're really not ready. So a week went by, and I went to go visit her. And when I walked in the house, there was something happened. Something shifted in the house. And now one of the elders repented to me. She went with me to her house. She repented to me that day. She says, I'm sorry. I was one of the ones that had a price. I know. She says, the one who led me to the Lord. She repented and she says, I want to go with you next time. I said, please, please do. She would so love that. So we went. So anyway, she comes out and I could see some kind of a change. You know what happened to her? She got up at 3 o'clock in the morning during that week, and the Lord says, I'm going to baptize you. Get in the tub. And the Holy Spirit baptized her. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and everything. By herself. But not alone. Not by herself. And that's, I mean, this whole thing, I just learned so much from this. And it blessed me so much. And the change, right, Aaron? And then remember, we were getting ready to go to Africa. And I was getting ready to tell her. Now, I had been, now this has been like, you know, 3-4 years. Still seeing her every week, still ministering to her. And now we were getting ready to go to Africa. And it's just the thought of me leaving her. I thought, oh, Lord, who's going to love her? Who's going to, you know, and I was praying, please, Lord, bring other people that would just love her for who she is. Well, right before we left, a major miracle happened. She was living in a shack. I mean, you know, it had heat, it had water, you know, but it wasn't a good place. She had so much favor. They put her in an apartment. She stopped smoking. She came off all the medications. I saw her in the grocery store, and I didn't recognize her. She walked right past me. And Aaron's like, hey, that's your friend. I'm like, who? That's Becky. I'm like, no, that's not Becky. Yes, it is. I'm like, that can't be her. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, she's a different person. She looked like she, oh, gosh. He did. You know what? He doesn't really need us, you know, to do. I mean, that's what I learned. I thought, gee, we're replaceable. The Holy Spirit can do it without us. He'd much rather us be involved so that we could be blessed. Well, things shifted at our church after that. I will tell you that much. Because after that, I mean, Aaron and I hit the streets. I was like, all right, this church business is great. We're going to Starbucks. And we set up our little spiritual reading sign at the Starbucks so we can get all the witches in our neighborhood. And then we went and hung out at the parking lot at Walmart and like, who can we pray for? Who's got on a crutch? Who's got something? And we would go and pray for people at Walmart, you know, and it just drove us out of that whole thing, drove us to the lost. All right, so my question to y'all is, are you ready for that? Really? You're going to find out. This is going to be tested. I guarantee it. You'll find out if you're ready. And then I'm going to come back here. And I'm going to say, who's in the house that doesn't smell good? No, just kidding. And I'm just saying, though, really prepare your hearts. If you're really asking for the Lord to bring the lost in, you better get ready so you don't have to go through that. Bless you guys. And you know what? I really do believe it ready. And you're going to go out and you're going to bring them in and you're going to go out and you're going to bring them in. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious.
Hallelujah. Here we hear, we have so many testimonies of the Holy Spirit just doing so much. Another short story in Africa, there was this mama who was going to our Bible school, not ours, but the one in Pemba in Africa. And poor thing, she kept failing each time. She just couldn't graduate. But any time there was a baby that passed away, they would take their babies to this mama and she'd rock them back to life. So one day, she raised over, I think, 14 babies back to life that were dead. I mean, dead. I mean, dead. And so they, I don't know if you heard this story, Becky, but Heidi shares it. You know, she says, you know, the pastors came to Heidi and says, you know, this mama can't, she's not passing her Bible college. But she's raised, you know, I think 11 people at the time from the dead. And she goes, well, just pass her. Just pass her. The Lord has qualified you. You are qualified. You are qualified. He has given you every good thing. You are qualified to go and get the lost. You are qualified to go and get the hungry ones. You are qualified to go get the ones the Lord places in front of you. Brenda's ministry at work was awesome. She got favor at work to go on missions trips when we were going back and forth to Africa that they weren't giving anybody. In fact, she would get phone calls from people saying, how are you getting time off? I can't even get 3 days off. Her company was breaking records at the sawmill, which, you know, it's a bunch of truckers, you know, come in talking about their weekends the night before with people they didn't really know. You know what I mean? Kind of really hardcore stuff. And my wife is here having to listen to that garbage. But she cultivated an atmosphere in her workspace. And all the guys that would come up to her, these truckers that were lewd and crude, they knew that she was a godly woman, and they started cleaning up their act. But this is what the Lord will do for you if you're serious about being and bringing His love. Even at school, guys, at school, I'll tell you this. If there's anybody picking on you or anything like that, I tell you the Holy Spirit, when you count on Holy Spirit, you get in touch with Holy Spirit, you got Holy Spirit working in your lives, those bullies won't even be around you because you carry the presence of God. Hallelujah. You want true power? You want true authority? Walk in love. Know who your Father is. Hallelujah. I wish I knew that when I was your age. Let's all stand. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord God, for Your love. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You loved us first, Lord. And Father, I thank You for this house, Lord God, that You're calling to be a hospital, Lord God. Lord, that You're calling this aisle to be a place of refuge, Lord God. Father, that everyone will come, Lord God, to learn from You, Lord God, or come and be healed, Lord. Lord, this will be a place, Lord God, the Father's house, where people will come, Lord God, and experience Your presence, Lord. Father, I thank You for the ones that are coming. Lord, I thank You for these ones here, Lord God, that You are preparing for such a time as this. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for Your radical love, that they will truly see, Father, every single person saved on this aisle, Lord God. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God. Father, I ask that You would supernaturally teach people, Lord God, when they seek You, Lord, how to draw from Your presence, to stay refreshed, to stay giving out of the overflow, Lord God, out of that saucer, out of that bowl, Lord God, out of Your overflow. Lord, teach people, Lord God, here, Lord, even more so, Lord God, how to tap into Your love, Lord God, because it's not our love that's given away, it's Your love, Lord. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that You would just equip everyone here, Lord God. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that they have their armor on. We never take it off. It's always on. But Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that You would just, Lord, remind, Lord God, of the things that have been spoken here, Lord. And Father, we just ask for divine visitations, Lord God, that will encourage them and to keep them going strong in You. And Father, we just ask that You would bless them, Lord God, and You would seal everything, Lord God, that is going on, Lord, by the power of Your blood, Lord God, by the blood of Yeshua, Lord, that You would come and seal them, Lord God. That will protect them from every arrow of the enemy that will try to come and slow them down, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God. We praise Your holy name. For, Lord, You get the glory. You get the glory, Lord. Because these are Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.